This morning, I have on my heart to share a word from the Word of God that touched my life, and I entitled it, A Miracle Waiting Next Door. If you can open up with me, the book of Acts chapter 18, the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 1 and down says this, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth." Now, Apostle Paul, after his conversion, he began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that he had in him. Athens was a city where he preached the gospel and poured out his heart to the people. And it came a moment now where he left Athens and he went to the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was a city in Greece where over 200,000 people were living. And it was a place where there was a lot of mixture. At the same time, a lot of innovation came from this city of Corinth. A lot of innovations from metal, from bronze, and different things. Even sports were taking place in that city. But also, the perversion of sexual immorality was rampant in the city as well. And right in that middle of everything that is going on, Apostle Paul comes to the city of Corinth and he begins to preach the gospel. Now, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says this, that Apostle Paul is talking to the church, encouraging the church. Now the church is established, and he's listing different things that were going on in that city, different sexual immorality, all of the sins that are going on. And he concludes with this verse, "And such were some of you," which means that people were getting saved, that the darkness did not have the last word in the city of Corinth. And this is how Apostle Paul is addressing now the church. And he says, "And such were some of you, but now," say with me now, "but now you are washed," meaning you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. "You are sanctified. You are set apart for the things of the Lord. You are justified," meaning you are made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the Spirit of our God. Isn't it an amazing thing that the gospel began to touch this city and people began to get saved? And now Apostle Paul is addressing to these people and saying, listen, all the things that I'm gonna talk about, the immorality that is happening, but I wanna remind you that some were you. Some of you were like that in the past, but now you have been washed and cleansed. And now this hope, we have the responsibility to share with other people. Let me put it this way, that some of us were like that. Some of us were far away from the Lord. Some of us were involved with different things in this world, but the mercies of God got a hold of us. And as Apostle Paul is calling now the church from Corinth to share this hope with others, not to look down on other people that are going through failure, that are living in sin, that are living like the devil, but always to remind them that, listen, once you were like that, and if it wasn't for the grace and the mercies of God, you wouldn't be where you are. But because of that, now you go and share this gospel. And this is what Apostle Paul was doing. Verse 2 from chapter 18 of Acts. "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, so he was at the same trade. He stayed with them and worked, for by occupation, they were tent makers." Let's stop here for a moment. Now he talks about that Apostle Paul is meeting this new couple, a husband and a wife, that are basically missionaries. They are doing the work of the Lord in the city of Corinth. and they're also working for themselves. They're doing tents. They're not trying to wait for somebody to just feed them all the time and to give them money all the time. There are people like that. The moment they hear ministry, the mind goes that I'm just gonna live an easy life and I'm just gonna be supported. But over here, Apostle Paul and this couple, they were working full-time and they were in ministry full-time. Till later on, when Timothy and others came and brought gifts to Apostle Paul, and they began to encourage him, listen, you need to spread the gospel, so just do that, we'll take care of you. But now it says that from the time when Aquila and Priscilla, when they were in Rome, under the emperor Claudius, he expelled the Jews from that region. And one thought that people are sharing is because the Jews were demanding equal rights. They were doing an uproar. They were rising in Rome. And this, the emperor decided to kick them out. Now, there is another thought in history that people are sharing, that there was a lot of uproar in Rome because of a man named Christus, which means Christ. In different words, there were people that were coming and sharing the gospel in Rome, and there was an uproar against the Jewish people because they were pushing against this thought of this man, Christ, that died on a cross for our sins. So either way, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that this emperor kicked everybody out, and all the Jews were to leave Rome. And now this is how Apostle Paul is coming to the city of Corinth, and this is where he's finding now this couple that are in exile, so to speak, that they left Rome. And it's a great picture of couples that are in this house. It's a great picture that you can be both in ministry and it can work beautifully. And I think Aquila and Priscilla are great examples of that, of how families can serve in ministry in the body of Jesus Christ. So let's continue. Verse 3, so he was of the same trade. He stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now, Apostle Paul used every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that every Sabbath he would come into the synagogue and he began to reason with them and he began to persuade them. You see, it was also intellectual conversations and it was words of persuading them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through him, they can be saved. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit. Say with me, compelled. Compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Now, it says over here that Apostle Paul was compelled by the Spirit, one of the things being compelled means being driven beyond our ability to resist the leading prompted. The leading prompted by not our own flesh, not our own desires, but by the Holy Spirit as He directs our lives. That's what it means when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit. Somebody once says this, if we can bring ourselves to that place of ultimate surrender, then we will be compelled and propelled by the Spirit into our destiny, into God's divine will for our life. You see, the Holy Spirit not only compels us, but He propels us to go forward in the will of God. Thank God for that. We're not left on our own to do the Great Commission. We're not left on our own to preach the gospel from our own strength and our own wisdom. But He will compel us as we respond. He will propel us and give us the grace and the strength that we need to share this gospel. And you would think that whenever Apostle Paul began to share the gospel with this people, that everybody would be hungry for the Lord. That all of these people from synagogue, they knew the law, many of them knew the law. They will embrace and say, finally, the law has been fulfilled. All the prophecies has been fulfilled. But no, he says this in verse 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed him, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. And he's bringing also this thought even from the Old Testament. And also whenever when they crucified Jesus, remember when they said, crucify him. Let his blood be upon our heads and our children's heads, but we don't want to have anything to do with this man. And now Apostle Paul is bringing the same words over here because they're resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ. In different words, he's saying, listen, I'm walking in obedience to the Lord to share this gospel, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit now to convert the people. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and brings people to himself. I am to just walk in this obedience and to share this gospel. So he says this, that let's read again in verse 6, but when they opposed him and blasphemed him, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God. You see, the gospel began to spread in that region. And even though this man was a Gentile, the Bible says he was the one that was worshiping God. And Paul comes to this man, finds him, and he says, whose house was next door to the synagogue? Do you think it's a coincidence that this man, this Gentile that is worshiping God, that he finds himself in a perfect place next door to the synagogue? And it says, verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Praise be to God. You see, it's a miracle awaiting next door. Sometimes we will face oppositions in our life. Sometimes we will see the things that Paul saw in the city of Corinth, where there was so much sin, where there was so much destruction, where there was so much that people were serving and worshiping other gods. And Apostle Paul comes with a message of hope to the city of Corinth. And you would think that people will receive him, but no, whenever when he was coming to the temple to teach them, to the synagogue, they kicked him out. They resisted him. They blasphemed him. They cursed him. They did not want to have anything to do with him. And Apostle Paul turns around. And even though as hard as that was, he goes to this Gentile's house, because there was a miracle awaiting next door from his house. There was a miracle because now we have a whole family from the synagogue that is gonna get saved. It's an amazing thing that Apostle Paul, when he had every opportunity to give up, when he had every opportunity to say, God, you have led me by the Spirit. He says, because he was prompted by the Spirit to preach the gospel. He was prompted by the Spirit when he went into the city of Corinth to preach the hope of Jesus Christ. And now he faced opposition. He would think not even one converted, but right away they began to oppose him and curse him and kick him out. But Apostle Paul, because he was led by the Spirit still, he goes to this house of this Gentile. He says, fine, I'm gonna go to those that are hungry. I'm gonna go to those that are open. I'm gonna go to those that can hear the gospel. I'm gonna go to those that are opening the doors to hear the hope of Jesus Christ. And because Paul was in a position not to get bitter, because Paul was in a position not to get angry with the Lord, to say, God, I thought I was led by the Spirit. I thought that I was walking in obedience when I came to the city of Corinth to preach the gospel, but they kicked me out and they cursed me and they opposed me. He had every reason to say, I'm done with this. But no, whenever when he faced opposition, that was another opportunity for him to move on with the Lord. My brother, my sister, whatever where you face opposition at workplace, in your neighborhood, whatever opposition you might face whenever when you try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, just look as this is another opportunity to move on and to share to somebody else. Isn't it an amazing thing? We live in a time where it's easier to talk with somebody about our pets. It's easier to talk with somebody about our neighborhood. And the moment you go to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ, number one, it's almost like we forget everything what the Bible taught us and we have been taught in the Word of God. And number two, we freeze. And number three, we face opposition. But God can help us to still see the opportunity next door because there is a miracle awaits next door. You know how many people that are living in darkness? You know how many neighbors around us where we live? You think God has allowed you to live in the neighborhood where you're living just for a coincidence? But what about like this man, like this Gentile that was living next door to this synagogue? And I'm not sure why was he not preaching to him. Apostle Paul had to come and begin to share the gospel with his family. And the Bible says that this man from synagogue, he became a born again believer. He was baptized and so many other families from the city of Corinth. Isn't it an amazing thing that there is a miracle awaiting next door to our place? There is a miracle that can take place. Are we willing, like Apostle Paul, to share this gospel with those that are hurting? With those religious people that think that I have it all together, as long as I go on Easter to church, as long as I'm gonna do my cross, as long as I'm gonna kiss the icon, as long as I'm gonna pray to Mary. Are we willing to go to people like that, that are religious? They have a form of religion, but denying its power. Are we willing to go to people like that? Because to a degree, to be honest with you, I think those are the hardest people to reach sometimes. Those are the hardest people to come and fellowship and talk. We're so used to go to downtowns. We're so used to go and preach to those that are homeless, to those that are lost, to those that don't have everything together, and praise God for that. But I think it's a little harder to go to this places, to those places where there are people that are filled with religion, but empty of the presence of God. Are there neighbors around you that are filled with religion, but empty of the presence of God? And this morning, I believe God is challenging all of us to be part of the miracle that can take place next door. And the miracle is that God can save the family from your next door. God can save a family from your neighborhood. God can save a family from where you are. Why? As this was a place, a synagogue where people were gathering, now me and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the living church. My brother, my sister, the moment we all leave this place, this is just an empty building. We are the church. Let me put it this way, for us to understand a little better. It's out of context, but can it be that we are that synagogue, so to speak, to the other people in our neighborhood that can look at us and see something different? They can look at us and are waiting for the gospel to be shared with them. Can this be our prayer? Can this be our prayer? God, use me because I am your body now for this miracle to happen in my neighborhood next door. And it can, because people can get saved. They were saved and they will get saved through the power and the mercies of God. Now I wanna finish with this as the worship team comes. Verse 9, you would think that a miracle happened, people got saved, Not only in this synagogue, this family got saved, but also people from the neighborhood got saved. That Apostle Paul would be rejoicing and shouting and dancing. But no, he says this, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You see, it doesn't say that Apostle Paul was preaching the word of God. But what does it say? What does it say? He was teaching. Say with me, teaching. We're very comfortable to preach. We're very comfortable to take 5 minutes and preach the gospel and preach the good news. But when people are converted, we are responsible now to do what? To teach them, like we did this morning before we came to the communion, to teach the truths of the word of God. Not to be just led by emotions, but to teach the word of God. And Apostle Paul found himself for a year and a half in that city now, teaching those that got converted and establishing a church. Hallelujah. I want to challenge now all of us, would we open our home to invite somebody and open the Bible and teach them from the word of God? A miracle that can happen next door doesn't happen if we don't go. The Bible says, go. The Great Commission says, go. It's the courage that me and you are to have to take a step of faith and to go next door, to knock on the door. They might think you're Jehovah's Witness for a minute. But no, we have a hope for the hopeless. Amen? Hope for the hopeless. A miracle can happen next door. And see, Apostle Paul was discouraged now. He was afflicted. He was in a state of hurt. He was a state of just being down. Because a lot of people did not receive the gospel. A lot of people turned away from him. And you see, the Lord came to him in a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silence. Is this a word for somebody here this morning that you've tried to share the gospel and it seemed like you made a fool of yourself? It seemed like there was so much opposition against you that you stopped sharing. That you stopped sharing the hope that we have in our lives. The word of God is calling us as was calling Apostle Paul. Do not be afraid. Don't be led by fear. But speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you. God is with you, my brother, my sister. God is with you. For I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And I'm reminded of Elijah when he thought that he was alone. Remember, he was running for his life. He was running, hiding. And he thought that I'm alone. And God says, no, I have so many more, hundreds of people that did not bow to Baal. I have hundreds of people and thousands of people. But I'm calling you to speak, Elijah. You see, sometimes when God is calling us to speak, we feel like we're alone. We feel like there's a position and we feel like failures. We can't put two sentences together when it comes to the gospel. But it says, no, I'm gonna cause you to speak. I'll be with you. You're not doing this alone, my brother, my sister. You're not going alone to your neighbor now. But God is going with you. God is going with you. He's gonna give you the words. He's gonna give you a word of knowledge. He's gonna give you wisdom, how to approach. He's gonna give you the gospel. He's gonna give you the words. And he says, you're not alone in this journey, but it's a body. Say with me, a body. But we are a body. There's always people. Trust me. I bet there's people in your neighborhood that are believers. For some reason, we're so occupied doing our own thing that sometimes maybe we need a little pressure to find them. But find those people. Call them. Can you come over? Let's pray for our neighborhood. Let's go to our neighbors and share the gospel because there's a miracle that is awaiting next door. Will I go? Will you go? Will we go? And it's not easy, because Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and down says this: "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." You see, in this context, Apostle Paul now is talking when he came to the city of Corinth. And that's why the Lord had to appear to him in a vision and encourage him, to remind him, "Paul, I know you were a Pharisee. I know you knew the law. I know that you have every opportunity to rely upon your intelligence. But this work has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence of human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is the message that we are to bring. It's not how smart I'm gonna sound when I'm gonna knock on that door. It's not how intelligent I'm gonna impress them, because none of that will save people. What will save people is the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in and through our lives. As good as all of those things are, I'm not saying it's not good to know things. It's bad when we rely on knowledge. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. In this verse 3, it says this: "I came to you strong." I came to you with boldness. I came to you puffed up that I knew everything. No, it doesn't say that. It says this: "I came to you in weakness, with great fear and in much trembling." This is how Apostle Paul came to the city in Greece, the city called Corinth. He came in weakness. He faced opposition. He came with great fear. His heart, his life was filled with fear and in much trembling. This is how he came to preach the gospel. And if you're here that you're fearful, if you are here that you think that you're weak, if you're here that you're trembling of the thought to share the gospel with your neighbor, you are the perfect candidate that God chooses to bring the light of Jesus Christ into our neighborhood. Perfect candidate. And now he says this: "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit of power." Verse 5, "so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." When Jesus appeared to him and said to him, "Do not be afraid," it was the moment when God empowered him supernaturally to shine the light of Jesus Christ and to share the words of God the way he wanted him to share. My brothers and my sisters, this message spoke to me a lot lately, and I want to encourage you and challenge you to receive this message as well, because it is a miracle that can happen next door. There are people that are waiting. They're ready. The harvest is ready for me and for you to have boldness and to go and share this gospel. Now the Lord has spoke to Paul in the night by a vision: "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you." This is the promise of the Lord. And this is the challenge of the Lord, that He's with us. Nobody will be there to harm you or to attack us. But we're gonna go in humility and start praying for our neighbors. Start praying for our neighbors. Amen? Amen? We can do so great to go to Harrisburg. We can do very good to go to a different nation, to a different country. And those things are great. But we can fail to go to our neighbor. But the miracle that can happen in Harrisburg, in Hershey, in different parts of Pennsylvania, the miracle that happens all around the world, I want to encourage you and remind you this morning that this miracle can happen in your neighborhood. I'm challenged this morning about our neighbors, because I don't want one day to stand before the Lord and the neighbors that are around me never heard the gospel, and there was a church here. There was a building here, and I was the living church around them, that I never took the opportunity to try. I'm not saying you're gonna convert them, but I'm saying we need to walk in obedience to share this gospel, to share this gospel with our friends that are not believers. How many of us hang out with people that are not walking with the Lord? I wanna ask you to pray for boldness, like Apostle Paul. Whenever when you're pushed away from different places, go next door, because a miracle awaits for you there. Go next door to share this gospel and people are gonna get saved. Let's believe for that. Let's believe for Times Square Church Summit Campus to be filled with people that are not coming from other churches, but people that are getting saved through the power of the cross. Let's believe for that. But not only believe for that, but let's take action and be part of the work of Jesus Christ to share the gospel with our neighbors. To share the gospel with our neighbors. Brothers and sisters, are we expecting people to come from different states here? Our neighbors need to come to the church. Our communities need to come to the church. And we have a responsibility to share this good news with them, as Apostle Paul came to this Gentile. And next door, a miracle happened because Paul was driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And same thing with us this morning. I want to challenge myself and you to start praying for our neighbors and to believe for our neighbors. And some of you are thinking, oh no, only if you knew who my neighbor is. I'm actually looking at the time and I already figure out whenever when they're out, whenever when they're not home, and this is when I mow my grass. I want to encourage you as a body, let's begin praying for our neighbors. And then let's pray, God, send me, give me an opportunity to be led by the Spirit, for I can see a miracle, because a miracle, it's awaiting there. People are crying out for hope, especially that they will live in. People are crying out for deliverance, and you are the answer. Yes, say, I am the answer. With confidence, I am the answer. You are the answer of many prayers that are lifted up, many tears that people are crying and in anguish, hopelessness. And the church of Jesus Christ is the answer to this world, to this cry. A miracle is about to happen next door. Don't stop when you face opposition, but just move out to the next house. Then move out to the next house. Do the same again and again. Because I bet you where you live, there's hundreds of homes. Just use this opportunity like Apostle Paul. Never stop when you face opposition, but let that be the fuel to continue forward, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are hurting, with those that live in sin, and with those that Jesus loves them and wants to give them forgiveness, freedom, and hope. Amen. Lord, we are grateful for Apostle Paul that teaches us how to be led by the Spirit. God, we thank you for the words that are left on the pages of the Word of God to remind us that when we face opposition, for us never to draw back and never to stop, but even in the middle of fear, in the middle of trembling, in the middle of opposition, Lord, for us to go to the next house to share this gospel. God, I lift up our neighbor, Joe, across the street from here. Lord, I've been having conversations with him here and there, but I pray that you would continue to give me opportunities to shine the light of Jesus Christ and to share the gospel. That I would live to see this family being saved. I pray that this miracle will happen, oh Father. I pray for specifically for this family, for his daughters. I pray for his marriage. I pray, oh God, that you would do a spark in this community by bringing him to you. Lord, all what I can do as Apostle Paul did, share the gospel, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and repentance. Lord, as a church now, we're praying for all of our neighbors. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage. Forgive us in the moments where so many neighbors might not even know that we're Christians. And I pray that this light will shine in and through our lives. As you're teaching us through your word that as we do good deeds, as we love one another, people will see the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. I pray that we will start there, oh Lord. I pray that you would give us opportunities. I pray that we would respond to your Spirit. And as Apostle Paul was filled with fear, as Apostle Paul was filled with uncertainty, he did not rely on his wisdom, but that actually led him to rely upon you even more as he shares in the Word of God. I pray, oh God, that this will be our testimony. I know that so many of us can relate to Apostle Paul. When we feel weak, feeble, filled with fear, God, as you looked and found Paul in those moments and empowered him, you're looking for us and say, we are the perfect candidates that you can use us now. That we can look silly in front of the world, but as long as there is a miracle that happens, and this miracle is when people are getting saved, when people become born again. What a joy that is, oh Lord. And I pray that this will be our testimony, oh Father, that we will partake from this miracle, that we will partake from what you are doing in our communities, and that our hearts will be filled with joy. With joy. God, I pray that we'll partake, that we will see a glimpse in heaven. What happens there when one sinner comes to you? And that there will be our strength, and that will be our energy, that there will be our boost, so to speak, that we will be encouraged to see people saved. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Heaven, my heart, to share this. If you've been here that you have not made a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, you might be here and thinking, I am that house next to this Gentile, so to speak, that I'm that place. A miracle can happen right here, right now, in this house. And if all of us can bow our heads, and if this is you, that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to be born again, hearing this message, before you go out to your neighbors, God needs to save you. A, admit that you're a sinner. Admit that without God, you cannot do this. B, believe that He is the Son of God. That there is no other way, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And C, confess with your mouth that He is your Lord and Savior. And together, we can rejoice with you, you becoming a born-again believer. So if this is you, that you never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you can raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you. If this is you, even as children are here hearing the gospel, if this is you that you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to make this decision for yourself, can you raise your hand that we're going to be praying together? Is there anyone? Father, we thank you that your word has power in into our lives. I pray that you would continue to speak to us. And I pray, oh God, that you would get all the glory and all the honor. And I pray, oh Lord, that we will partake from this joy whenever when we will see our neighbors getting saved. Help us to believe for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's leave this place rejoicing now, amen. Now, I've asked people to lift their hand up. And my daughter lifted her hand up. And that's why she was sitting right over there and listening. And she's like, me, daddy, me right here. So I don't want to miss this opportunity. Would you stretch your hand and pray for my daughter? Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the little children that are responding to the gospel. I thank you for Linnea, for being in the service and listening so carefully to the words that were spoken from your word. And as much as she can understand, she understands that she needs you. Yes. And she desires to be saved. And I thank you for her. I thank you that this is your love. I thank you that this is your grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking into her life. And this morning, she boldly came here on stage. She boldly lifted her hand up that she wants to give her life to you. I pray, oh Lord, that you would keep her all the days of her life. I pray, oh God, that you would bless her. I pray, oh Father, that you would keep her in this world. I pray that she would grow up to be a testimony of your faithfulness and the power of God. I pray, oh God, that she will grow up to be a vessel that you will use for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would baptize her with the Holy Spirit. I pray, oh Lord, that there will be such a tenderness in her heart, in her life, that even now children will get blessed by her. I pray, oh Father, that you will speak to her through your word as she develops, as she grows, that all the days of her life, that you would be a well for her, where she can come and draw water from and be satisfied. God, I pray for all of the children that are here in this house. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be upon our children. Thank you for them too, that they are here with us. Thank you, Father, that they're mature enough to hear your word and to respond to your word. Now we pray as parents that you would bless them, keep them, protect them from every sickness that is out there, any disease that is out there. We speak wholeness and healing. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.